Good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
We have so many things to talk about. The wisdom of God, Mormonism, and so much more. Sit back, relax, enjoy your drive to work this morning. Turn it down a little low if you're at work so they can't hear it. Oh my goodness. Give a shout out this morning to Barbara in Spring. That was an awesome message. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Give a shout out this morning to all of our Facebook fans. Don't forget you can like us and be connected every morning and all day long to the VFN Radio program and VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and ways to follow us. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Shout out this morning to Brett. Hola, Sophia. We'll give a shout-out this morning to my mother and my father, Zerl and Marilyn Lancaster. Love you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Your redemption draws nine. Look up. It's all good up. Ooh, good, 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 good morning. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're listening to VFN Radio. VFN Radio, and with me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my goodness, man. So many things are happening. I just want to give a shout out to all of our listeners today and just say that there's so many things going on, and it's just a sign of the times that you know, information's increasing and data's just downloading to us. But we've got to pay attention, though, you know, to what's taking place so that we can actually respond appropriately. Is that right?
Yeah.
Appropriately, like generally, yeah. Right? Appropriately to what's taking place. And man, we had a wonderful, wonderful time yesterday. So many things we're able to talk about, you know, as we had, Steve Hill and Peter Wagner, and we got a chance to talk about what's going to, you know, the key to transforming this nation is not just acting right personally, but it's advancing the kingdom of God. It's a rapid church planting movement that changes the DNA. So find out about that. You can find out about that on the VFN TV blog or on your VFN TV app. You get it from your Android store to your iTunes store. It's called Peter Wagner in the VFN TV blog. But first, Pat, did you hear about the father that went on this ride with his daughter? It was so hilarious.
A ride?
Yeah, it was a ride at like the fairgrounds. Oh, my goodness. He is sitting in this thing, and you can see this on the VFN TV blog. Go to VFNTV.com and click on it. But he is sitting here, and he's sitting here, and he's all happy. He's sitting in his seat and watching right now. You can see this thing, and his daughter's just so happy and giddy and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, this puppy starts. Oh my goodness! He looks so concerned. His face. What? You gotta see this. Oh my gosh! It is so funny. Oh my goodness.
Oh, well, wow. Was he in pain?
Oh, no, he wasn't in pain. He was just acting like we would like on that
ride. That'd be like me.
Oh, my goodness. It was so funny. You can see that on the VFN TV blog where this father is just regretting the day while his daughter's just enjoying everything that's being said. I mean, that's going on in the ride. She's like, woo! You know, he's just like, oh, my life is over as I know it, you know? So I just don't want you to miss that. You need to laugh today. That is definitely a laugh for you. You can get that on VF, and it's important. Laughter's like good medicine. I mean, you got to laugh every now and then.
Amen.
And if you can't laugh about that, get on the ride yourself and have somebody shoot the video. And you can
laugh at yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me when I was jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, I'm glad that whoever edited the video, it was probably Chris edited the video, but he edited the part of me moving from the center of the plane to the open door of the plane.
Yeah, yeah. You got to put that on the blog. That'd be funny.
I can't find that. I can't find that.
I've got it.
Do you really?
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay. Let's just move on from this. It's like, no, there's the doors open. You know, he's like, move over closer to the door. And the whole plane's only like 2 foot wide. You know, I'm like, closer. I'm there already. And there's something about, maybe we can put this video, you know.
Yeah, maybe
we
could.
The edited version.
Maybe a good laugh.
That, only if we get the pictures up. And then, and something about when you're, you know, on a 2 foot board, basically, the plane was so small. It was two guys wide, mm-hmm. you know, and, the door opens up. It's kind of, you're in the plane. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a plane, you know, mm-hmm. it's a plane. Then the door opens up. It's like, it's a board in the air. You're sitting on it, you know.
Yeah, like a tin can.
Yeah. And so then he says to me, you know, a slide over. So the door's real loud because uh-huh. I'm like, slide over. And I said, give me a minute. And, of course, I'm strapped to him because, like, tandem jumping, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll talk more probably in the future about this dude. He's like, he had no shoes on. I went, woohoo! And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's over. And so he says, slide over to the door. And of course, he just starts moving me around because I'm like touched to his chest. It's like, stop. And we get to the door and he says, okay. And I'm holding onto the threshing the door jam of the plane. And I'm looking and straight down off this little board that I'm standing on at 10,000 feet. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's these little, microscopic broccoli things you can see way up, you know, you could just, it was 10,000 feet. You know, mm-hmm. I could see everything. I could see the Gulf, the Emerald Coast. I could see farmland. I could see all these different things, you know, and, then, you know, he said, okay, let go. And I said, give me a minute. And it's like, man, it's like prying my fingers. Like, I'm going to do this. Give me a second. And then we jumped.
Yeah.
Or I was pushed. I can't remember how that worked. because I wanted to, what I thought I was doing was, I was breaking mindsets. We get so many mindsets because your brain tells you at 10,000 feet, this is not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I can't imagine why.
And so while your brain is telling you, no, no, you got to learn to move beyond your thoughts, you know, and so many people just hear their brain say no, mm-hmm. and they don't.
Right.
You know, when you got to charge and you got to go forward, you got to advance the kingdom, you got to do these things. Like, I wanted every mindset broken.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be able to move beyond my thoughts because, you know, we're listening yesterday to, an interview coming up we're going to have in the future soon. It was Pat Robinson was interviewing Benny and Suzanne Hinn. They're mm-hmm. back together again in their marriage. And he was talking about personally himself, how he had to push through this veil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how it took so much effort to push through. When you're, you know, when there's a stronghold and God's people are held captive and we're just stuck and we can't, you know, somebody's got to push through. And there's people that are willing or try to at least. To push through, and it takes almost the best way to compare it is, you know, when your brain tells you don't jump out of 10,000 feet, right?
Right.
And you jump, and then or you pushed, and then and you're flying. You know, you're dropping at a rapid rate of speed. You know, 125 miles an hour, maybe. Wear earplugs if you ever do this. Wear earplugs because I thought, man, I will not hear again. It was just rapid noise on my ear, And their video, I got a video. Hey, there's some video.
Yeah, right? I did.
The edited version. And so, but once, you know, you're going, you know, you're doing the little pose thing that they told you to do so you don't flip all over the place. And, Then once the chute opens up, that was probably the scariest point, because you're thinking these little D rings, these little metal D rings. Is it going to hold you? Because you're going 125 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden you just come to an immediate stop, and you personally don't have a parachute. You're strapped on to Bubba here, who has a parachute, and you don't know who packed it, you know, and all these different things. It's just like a move of faith. I mean, you just have to have faith for all that. And all of a sudden, he pulls that thing, and I'm holding my fist really tight because I'm thinking, oh, I hope this thing hits. And it just catches you, like, bam. It just catches you, and you stop, like, you know, just immediate stop, it seems like. And then you just start peacefully floating, and it just takes a long time to come down. It's just beautiful. Mm. I mean, the whole process of falling once the chute opens up, because you're just falling. It's what you're doing, just falling slower. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't seem dangerous, because it's like, oh, look at the little broccoli. That couldn't hurt me. It's like, that's the earth. that's a 400-foot tree, dude, or whatever it is. That can kill you. Yeah. But it doesn't seem that way. But I wanted to break mindsets. So, you know, if you want to break some mindsets, that's a good way to do it. Or just step out in God, and despite what your brain is saying, when God says to do it, it seems a lot like that.
Yeah.
You remember the 747 in California? We were in the 747, the 40-foot high telephone pole.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting a little older now. I'll remember you.
Is that what it was called? I had no idea.
It was 747. Okay. It was 40-foot high.
Oh, yeah.
And it was 7 foot out. And so we had to climb this telephone pole, and we're not linemen. And this is, we're talking right now about how to get past your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they say a mind's a terrible thing to waste, but your mind will waste your destiny. If you stay in your mind, there's nothing more frustrating to be out of your mind. Logan said, was this David Logan? Or his name's David Logan. He says, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind.
Yeah.
You know,
David Hogan.
Yeah. He was talking about all the things that had happened in his ministry in Mexico and all. And all of a sudden he just stops and he goes, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be out of your mind, and not just in generally out, but out of your mind for God, mm-hmm. you can say, despite what I think, despite what I feel, despite what people tell me, what they think and what they feel, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God says. And that's called faith, right?
That's right.
Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see.
That's right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so this thing was seven, it was 40 foot high. This telephone pole was 40 foot high.
Yeah.
And it had a little small 2x6 at the top of enough to put both your feet side by side nailed to the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7 feet out, once you're standing on top of it, you had to climb it. It had a trapeze bar. And so it was 747, which meant, you know, you climb up 40 feet. You stand on the top of this telephone pole.
Mm-hmm.
And then you jump
out. A
wobbly
telephone pole.
It's very wobbly. And then you jump. There's nothing. You know, you're on belay. Yeah, they have you on a rope.
Belay, yeah.
Yeah, belay. Mm-hmm. Scary when I'm reminding you. You remember
me.
And so you're on belay, which is not necessarily according to what I saw happen to a dentist. Doesn't mean that much. Remember the dentist, like, bam, hits the ground. He goes, I'm all right.
I'm like, good.
You just fell 25 feet, dude. Give it a break. Anyway, so then you jump from the top of the pole when you're standing on it. You jump out to a trapeze bar, which is 7 feet out. So, you know, just like jumping from an airplane. Now, this is truly what it's like. If you live your life in the safe zone, first of all, you're boring. You're very boring. Secondly, you know, you're not doing nothing for God, because God is on. It's the cutting edge. You've got to step outside what is to get to what will be. And everybody can do this who loves God. God's looking for people who trust Him. We got to bust out of all these barriers that are keeping us back. Where, you know, Mormons are more faithful to their doctrine and their evangelism. Islam's more faithful to their prophet, Muhammad, than people who profess to be, you know, followers of Jesus Christ that are going out and just breaking the barriers. You know, we're going to talk about some stuff about that today, but you got to get past your mind, you know, and there's nothing worse than to be out of your mind for God, but being held captive by everybody that's in their mind refusing to go with God. I mean, at some point you just got to say, okay, I'm moving on, you know.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, I think. I said, you know, did anybody ask you what you thought? So you climb this telephone pole.
Mm-hmm.
You climb, and this is good comparisons, what it's like about following God. You know, and we're going to be talking about the wisdom moment in a little bit, and we're going to be talking about, you know, God's news behind the news. We're going to talk today about some very serious things that just happened in our country. But you got to listen. This is what it's like stepping out of your mind. So you had to climb this telephone pole. So I had those little metal things, remember, on the side of it, just like you're going to climb a telephone pole for a lineman, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have the hooks in our boot or nothing like that. Like, right. Remember Colby? Colby
yeah.
did that thing.
Yeah, climb that tree.
Yeah, back when he was in shape. He's a father now, so he might not be in shape. The and so you climb this pole, and you're going up 40 feet. And at first, it's like, bump, 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 bump. And you get about 25 feet, and it's like your brain starts going.
It starts this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, a 40-foot pole is like it's like a straw in the wind.
Yeah.
It just sways back and forth and all that. And you think, well, I'm grabbing a hold of these things with my hands and my feet. So you still got some sort of false sense of security.
Yeah.
And you got like a 16-year-old kid going, I got your own belay. Right? And if I was to fall, I would have shot him up in the air. You know.
Anyway, yeah.
So anyway, so then... You know, we're climbing up, and once you get to the very top, so imagine you're looking eye to eye with this little dinky piece of 2x6 nailed to the top of a 40-foot telephone pole, and now you're looking at it in your eyes, eye level. But you're going to have to somehow get your feet on that 2x6, and at that point, there's nothing to hold on to, and this thing is swaying back and forth. You know, if I would have never been in ministry prior to this, I would have had no grid.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's just like ministry.
Yeah, right. Stand on nothing.
Yeah, you know, fixing to die. Anyway, so then so you got to be able to, now you're looking eye level with this 2x6, and you're going to climb up and put your feet, you got to let go of your hands and stand on, get your foot on this 2x6.
That was the most difficult part of that whole thing.
Yeah,
because actually standing up.
Yeah, because the whole thing's just vibrating with fear.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you're not afraid. Your body's afraid.
Yeah. Right. My mind was okay, but my body was freaking out.
Yeah, your body's just, you know, totally, because you're thinking, your brain is going at this point. You know, it's going focus, do this, do that. But your body's going, what are you doing?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
You know, and so finally, the largest accomplishment was just being able to stand up. So I finally I'm standing up on the top of this thing, and I feel kind of somewhat better. But then I look over and see the top of this huge pine tree. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be seeing the top of this pine tree that's right beside me, close by.
Mm-hmm.
And in my feet, from my toes to the back of my heels, you know, they have the thing in the stadiums, you know, when you're doing football games called the wave, where you kind of just kind of move around. It was like I was standing on this thing, this 2x6, and it's like from my toes to my heels, my feet were doing waves. Kind of go back, you know, I was like, oh, my goodness. And they were just freaking out. Your flesh will freak out. You know, when you step outside of what you know and you're trusting God, your flesh will scream, even though your brain may be focused on the vision and what God's called you to do. Don't be surprised when your flesh just begins to freak out, you know. And so then you finally get to this point, and now you got to jump off this thing you were so proud you finally made it to.
Oh, right.
And you got to go seven feet. What's the big deal with that? Of course, the pole you're standing on is swaying in the wind like a piece of pine straw.
Mm-hmm.
My feet are doing the wave, and and the only way you can make it, this is a brilliant, brilliant thing to be able to learn how things work with God. The only way you can make it to that 7-foot trapeze bar is you have to give it everything you got. You got to squat down.
Mm-hmm.
You got to squat all the way down and just leap for everything you've got to be able to make it to the trapeze bar. You can't like, okay, I'm going to try or I'm going to, you just can't make it unless you give it all you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love that because it's a great comparison to, you know, the things of God. You know, does God reward half-hearted faith? You know, you either have it or you don't.
Right.
You know, you're either confident that God's gonna deliver you, or God's gonna do what he said he's gonna do in your life. You know, Abraham fully persuaded that God was able to do what he promised he would do despite all that was going on in his flesh. And it was just something, oh my goodness, jumping out of planes, you know, jumping off of 40-foot telephone poles, you know, that's an amazing thing when you get up to high, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Do you remember you doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Every second of it.
Oh, something, wasn't it?
Remember the big balloon thing in the water?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we got to find that. That is so funny. That was good.
Yeah.
How'd it go? Ah!
Yeah, right. That was me, the guy screaming earlier.
Yeah, that was good. That was totally, that's exactly what it was. Oh my goodness. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with the wisdom for today. We've got so many things to share with you. Hang on, we'll be right back. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and look, let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed. You know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education. You know, you'd think I could have got one there with 1200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
It's kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today that's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used, that they had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, and, by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen and, they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making it. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point, but rest assured that, outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just You know, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me is, of course, Pat Hamilton this morning.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Well, you know, we're going to talk about the next is the word of wisdom, the moment of wisdom. You know, we want the wisdom of God. Right now, there's so many decisions you are having to make, you know, and having wisdom helps you in making decisions. And there's just, you know, as a parent, as a minister, as a believer, you know, you have to make a lot of decisions and you have to make them fast. And you have to know, and the key is to be just soaked and saturated in the wisdom of God. And with that comes everything that you need. Mm-hmm. I mean, the, you know, ignorance lasts for a while, but wisdom lasts forever.
Right.
You know, and so ignorance does work for a while. You know, yeah. It just, you know, ignorance not knowing works for a while. But eventually it all ends in destruction. But wisdom is forever, mm-hmm. You know. And so the Proverbs. Today is, you know, the 27th. And so we're in Proverbs 27. And that's kind of how we do it. And so mm-hmm. It's the 27th of the month. And Proverbs 27:7. You know, that's what you want to talk about this morning. And it says, you know, one who is full loathes honey from the comb. But to the hungry, mm-hmm. Even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Right.
Well, think about it. That's so powerful, you know, because if you find, let me say it again, one who loathes honey from the comb, one who is full loathes honey. So being full mm-hmm. causes you to loathe honey,
right?
Something that's sweet and good. Mm-hmm. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Right.
You know, and if you're tired of the way things are, if you're tired of the way your life is, you're tired of the way that your walk is, if you feel like you're stuck in the place, you know, quite often it's because you're full of it.
Yeah.
But you're full of, you know, you're full of the world.
Right.
Right. You're exactly. Just full of maybe stress or, you know, you have to be defragged. You know, think about mm-hmm. computers that, you know, they can, you put programs on the computers, you take them off. You put them on, you take them off. By doing that, you're moving these bits and pieces around in your memory. Even though you took that computer program off, it's discombobulated. It's all mm-hmm. over the place. It's kind of fragmented everywhere. And you have to defrag your computer. You have to get it to a right place. Eventually, the computer just becomes full, mm-hmm. you know, and it can't handle something else. Mm-hmm. And you know, you may be stuck there. You may be stuck in your life. And right now there's so much coming at you. There's so many things happening in the economy. There's so much religion going on versus relationship. You know, there's people making demands of you that you cannot deliver. There's people that are maybe criticizing you and judging you and all these different things. You're thinking, if you go the way of the flesh in this, it's not going to be good. You know, and if you're full of the things of this world or full of things that are going on, that, you know, when God, you know, when you need the things of God, you're not going to be hungry for the things of God. And the key to more of God, the one very important key for a move of God in your life and for getting close to God is, first of all, to know him, you know, mm-hmm. to know Jesus and to know him and to be hungry for him, but just to be hungry for more of God. And you cannot be full of everything that's not God and then expect God to move mm-hmm. in your life to feed you.
Right.
It's not that he's not there. He's always there. Though he's not far from you, you reach out to him. He tells us, you know, it's him. He's always everywhere. He's holding everything together. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that we're not going to reach out for him and experience him if we have no room for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you're not hungry.
If you're not hungry. And so you need to void yourself of the world and busyness and hecticness and all of that. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, that when he traveled around. He still travels around, but I know that back then that he traveled around. He would only go to a place that the people were hungry. No, nothing else. Because and when people are hungry, that's where God moves. I mean, even an unsaved person who cries out to God because they're desperately hungry, God meets them there so that they can actually know him.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the unsaved person can cry out to God and God would meet him there. And hunger is this. Hunger is a feeling of emptiness that is matched with a craving that desires to be filled. You think about it. Hunger is a feeling of emptiness. I mean, if you're full, you don't have a feeling of emptiness.
Right.
You're just wondering, that might be good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Get something sweet. That's not good. What do you mean it's not good? That's carrot cake. Anyway, she says, hunger is a feeling of emptiness that is matched with a craving that desires to be filled. When you're over a longer period of time of hunger, then it begins to demand to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And God has a way to take us on the journey to begin to cry out to him. And he tells us, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:6, he says, blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he shall be filled. Right. Think about it. So we have to be hungry. We have to hunger and thirst for what is right in God. You know, being hungry for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just being hungry. I remember I was just meeting with Jack and Shelley Hollis and Marianne, and he's talking about the hunger of God as well. You know, and he's just saying, you know, we got to have this hunger for God. And he's teaching his people about the hunger of God. And God will move in hunger. I mean, he's absolutely right. And the Lord's telling us right here in Proverbs 27:7, the secret, though, is you can't be full and expect to be hungry.
Mm.
So you got to decide what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
He says, taste and see the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird. You wouldn't think this, but you know, when you start drinking water, lots of water, you start getting thirstier. I don't know if you have natural water. If you take water, if you're not a water drinker, you wouldn't know this.
I got flavored water.
It's like foo-foo water. My goodness gracious.
Hey, it's better than
that. I remember when I actually got your bottle. Away. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to die. You know, but this is that if you are not a drinker of water, you don't drink water. You don't necessarily get that thirsty, but when you start drinking water, say, I'm going to drink 8 glasses a day, the old saying, it would say, and then the more water you drink, the thirstier you get. You think the more water you would drink, the less thirst you would have, but it creates the action of going after more water in the sense that it causes you to want more water.
Right.
You know, and God, who is not seen, could be understood by what we do see, what he's created. It's what he tells us, right?
Right.
Or food, for example. You know, if you eat, you know, a big meal at supper time, at dinner time,
mm-hmm.
and you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning, you're hungry again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're really hungry again.
Yeah.
I mean, you want even more food.
Mm-hmm.
But if you eat light at night, you know, something just normal kind of light stuff, then when you wake up, you're not as hungry as you would have been if you would have ate a quite a bit of food. So it's like the more you eat the natural food,
mm-hmm.
the more food you want.
Mm-hmm.
So we're never going to be able to, in the natural appetite, solve that by eating more food. I mean,
right.
It just boils down to the secret is eating less, right?
Eat less, yeah.
Dang, don't you hate that? Eat less. Oh, you got a secret. How'd you lose weight? I ate less. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
That does work.
It does. Oh, come on, skinny man. Okay, anyway, so don't be boasting. Don't be boasting.
I remember that time. It works.
I do too, man. I do too. And so how do you get hungry? That's the question. You know, how do you get hungry for the things of God? We're talking about the natural sense. But God says, his word says that God, who is not seen, could be understood by what is seen, for he created that. Therefore, men are without excuse. That's what he says, you know, kind of a summarization of that in Romans chapter 1. And so how do you get hungry for God? Because, you know, if in fact, you know, that you're full, you know, even good things that God wants to give us, we're not going to be hungry for them. It's not that it's not good. And it's not that you don't remember this was good. It's just you're not craving it. It's not a desire of yours. And that's where God's going to move in the context of you actually desiring it. So you have to actually decide, you know, do I want to be hungry for the things of God and for the presence of God? Or do I want to stay full of the world? I'm telling you, the enemy, the adversary is working overtime to have everybody be full of it, full of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk to somebody and you think, really? Seriously? And it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, there's this overkill. I mean, your eyes are being inundated. Your ears are being inundated. You know, the thoughts and the conversations and, you know, everything follows you everywhere. And that's why we have VFN Radio. We want to put good things in you so you'll be hungry for more good things, you know?
Yeah.
And so how do you get hungry for God? Well, first of all, you got to quit being full of the world. You got to quit being full. You got to say no to the things of the world. And if those around you continue to bring you, you know, things from the world, then you've got to say no to them. You know, if they're going to continue to bring the world to you, and if you want more of God, you got to be able, and Jesus would go alone to be with the Father. He would just go alone to be with him. And so we got to get hungry for the things of God. According to this proverb, and just knowing as you're walking with the Lord, is you can't be full of the world. You can't be full of religion. You can't be full of self-righteousness. You can't be full of, you know, responsibilities where you're just like, I'm so busy. I don't have time to spend with God. Really, the God that's given you your job, giving you the air that you breathe, that loves you, that gave his son for you. I mean, you really think the world's going to fall apart if you just spend time to go after him? Do you really think that? I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so, first of all, then, so to get hungry for God, we have to be unfull of the things that are not God. Because we have to begin to have an emptiness in us that has this match with a desire or a craving to be filled. Mm-hmm. So first you got to empty yourself, you know? And one way to do that is to fast and pray. Just fast. Mm-hmm. Not just fast food, but fast food because, you know, your flesh, you know, demands from you things that it just needs to sometimes just shut up, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, my flesh told me that I was not going to make it when we were jumping out of that plane that we talked about in the first part of the hour. But the truth is I made it, you know, and our soldiers have made it for years that do that. And, but my brain now tells me, no. But, you know, to begin to fast, but not only fast food, because remember, if you continue to eat food, you'll be wanting more food. You know, if you eat a whole bunch of food, you'll want a whole bunch more food. And so to fast food, you know, a water fast. Now, it's really strange that just like the body responded to natural food and water, that if you're on a fast, and now you're on a water fast, you're not on a steak fast, you're not on a juice fast, you're not on a lentil bean fast. I mean, you're on like water fast. That if you're doing that around the third or the fourth day, after all the screaming and hollering of your flesh, you get into that point, you get this epiphany that happens in your body where you start wondering, did I ever need food to begin with? You get this burst of energy. You got this feeling of clearness in your body. You start wondering if you even need food. So just like we learned in the natural sense of the body, now when we say no to our flesh, there is a place past the demands of our flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul says, after I've preached to others, I beat my flesh so that I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Jesus said, if your flesh offend you, cut it off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, if your hand offends you, right? If your eye, if your foot, you know, cut, gouge, and cut, right? Whatever it is. And so our flesh is not as important as it says it is.
Right.
Even though it talks a lot. And so getting hunger for the things of God is we got to void ourselves for the things of the world. We got to be willing. We got to be more into where we're going to be than where we are. We have to be more eternally focused than this present life focus. And we have to understand, you know, that God is good. He says, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so the more we go after God, if the more of God's word that you hide in your heart, that you wouldn't sin against him, the more that you read and meditate, not just read, but you meditate on his word and read and meditate on his word, you know, the more of his word you're going to want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you pray, the more you're going to want to pray. You know, the least you pray, the less you pray, the less you're going to want to pray. And so when you see yourself breaking out of the very things that you want to take place in your life, which is more of God and his presence and his glory, just say, hey, you know what? I know how to get back to where I was. I'm just full of it right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell when somebody's full of it, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, they need some time with God.
Yeah, right.
And so, and there's some people that never say no to the world. They just, every day they go and they listen to music and stuff that's contrary to God's ways. They listen and watch movies and things that are contrary to God's ways. They feed their flesh continually, and they're pretty much full of it all the time, are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you think about it, like, are you always this flesh case? Are you always like that Tasmanian devil? Remember the Tasmanian devil with Bugs Bunny, and he was like, and it's like they have this whole atmosphere of flesh around them, and it's just like it's just carnality. It's like Paul talks about carnal Christians, and and that we got to get past this. I mean, we're hitting some major things right now in society. We're hitting things are coming to us so rapidly and so fast that if we don't get in tune with heaven, if we don't get in tune with God, you know, we're going to lose. Right. We're going to lose, you know, we're going to lose what we have in God right now, because you think about it, just like Peter Wagner was saying, he never thought that India would have surpassed China. But now I think he said 20% of India, 20% of India profess to be Christians now. This huge Hindu, you know, this huge population.
All right.
And, but, you know, did you know that 4% of young people, 4% of young people in the world today do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
All right.
You know why? So many people that profess to be followers of Jesus Christ are full of it. They're full of the world. They're full of the flesh. They're full of carnality. They're full of all these things. And they're not hungry for the things of God. They're just coming up with theories and concepts and ideas and stuff that says, what about God? Mm-hmm. What about his presence? What about his glory? Mm-hmm. Just full of the world, right?
Right.
And so, you know, you cannot be friends with the world and friends with God, because somebody who's a friend of the world is what? Is an enemy of God.
Right.
And so if you don't gather, he says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. If you're not part of what the great expectation, the great commission and getting out, you understand that you've taken on, you digested the things of the world, and that you got to get free from that. And one way to get free from that is to begin to just get the world out of your system. And that's so interesting. I remember, you know, when I was in the Navy, that I would get my paycheck in the Navy, and other people would always run out of money on the boat. And so I felt bad for them, and they would say, oh, you know, I'm out. Can you help me out with some money? I'm broke, you know, whatever. And so then, of course, you know, I'd give it to them, you know. And then I found out, as things progressed, they had direct deposit. They had direct deposit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Their money was going in some big mountain stack somewhere, and they were living, you know, here and there off of other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really weren't broke.
Right.
You know? Then you have, you know, other people that are saying, I'm just so stressed. I don't know. I think I'm going to lose my job. You know, it looks like I'm going to have to tap into my 401k and sell my $17,000 Mercedes. Like, oh, he's like, you know, it's like, come on, serious.
Right.
Do you really think that's hurting?
Yeah.
Do you think that's hurting? Do you really think it's hurting? And so the definition of, you know, is you got to find out what that is. You can't, you know, just lie to yourself. You got to say, you know what, you know, that the desperate hunger for God, you know, desperate for his glory. And hopefully that's going to be up soon for VFN TV subscribers. You can subscribe for free at VFNTV.com. But desperate for his glory, we got to get desperate for, like David got desperate. And we will do that when we stop being full of the things of the world. And there's a lot of religious things you can be full of. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking in the extra hour today about Mormonism and all the different, you know, nice, good things that are done in the name of religion.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is it God? You know, is it God? You know, and it's a big question we have to answer. Could be, couldn't. So tune in for the extra hour to find out today, you know, what we're going to be sharing. And so think about the wisdom. This is the wisdom for today. The wisdom for today is Proverbs 27:7. One who is full loathes honey. Think about it. Loaves sugar and the next mm-hmm. thing. I mean, you think about it. The honey was like the state of the art, you know, for you, butter pecan ice cream probably.
Ooh.
Yeah, see? There you go. That you would loathe it. Oh, I don't want any butter pecan. You know, right. That's major, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It says, one who is full loaves honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter. Even what is bitter is like, you know, I just want, feed me something.
Mm-hmm.
Feed me something. God, I'll take anything from you. If it's from you, I want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if that's you today, I encourage you, begin to just cry out and say, Lord, I want a hunger in my life. I want to be hungry for you. Lord, show me the things that I'm letting into my life, into my eyes, into my heart. And there's people, man, it's just amazing. This is amazing. And the enemy's working overtime in getting you to be full of it, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to work overtime and staying empty of the world. And you can do that by just saying, you know, empty me, Lord, of myself. You know, I throw myself, Lord, on the altar of your presence. God, I want more of you. I am not satisfied. I know there's more of you. And when you think about the Brownsville Revival, I mean, it was all about more, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was one of the theme cries, just want more of you. And there's so much of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy tries to distract you from that.
Mm-hmm.
By having so much of the world. And so if you want to be hungry, you can't be full of it. You have to be empty of the world and the things
mm-hmm.
and begin to taste and see the Lord is good. And the more you eat, the more you want. The more you drink of the Lord, the more you're going to want to drink. And the more you pray, the more you're going to want to pray. God bless you. We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you that, you know, obviously, VFN Radio is available for anybody in the world as our listeners around the world are listening now and throughout America. Also, that the VFN TV is available for anybody and everybody. But there's actually more available for those who subscribe for free. You can actually subscribe to VFN TV at VFNTV.com, or you actually can text to subscribe, John. You text VFN TV. That's a V as in Victor. VFN TV. 222-828. That's text VFNTV to 222-828. And you do that, and it'll just walk you through a little small little process, and you're registered, you're ready to go, and you get back to teachings, this prophetic words, you know, some of the things that we're talking about now that's available for we want everybody to be able to get everything that the Lord is saying. But one of them is, you know, who are you calling good, which is very important, some of the teachings. Others is a prophetic words about what God's saying and teachings, because we've got to have perspectives. It's not just to know the news. It's what to do about the news that you know.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you today, if you have not yet become a subscriber, it's free. It's free. So, you know, subscribe at VFNTV.com and click on subscribe. Or you can text us to subscribe. Text VFNTV at 222-828. That's VFNTV 222-828.
You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes. Isn't that a political correct answer? Another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, that he's a lover of your soul, and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride in this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
what
I'm saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you ask a believer, a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's, my sheep know my voice. And that's an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
think about it. I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author, and that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just... You know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan, and it'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole – everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, eight-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited, because when you start listening – I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Hmm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him, and you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there. iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me is Pat Hamilton. We have been talking about the word of wisdom. We're coming to the end of the first hour. I cannot believe how quickly, you know, it passes. We're going to be talking about, in the extra hour today, you got to join us. We're going to be talking about Mormonism. We're going to talk about, you know, what the Pentagon just did, what our president just did in the context of what's going on, how that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, that we just last night, yesterday, you know, that the Defense Department held a panel discussion to honor a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Pride Month. And they're transitioning in and accepting, just transferring the military to be able to start allowing that to be practiced openly. Don't ask, don't tell was repealed.
All right.
And we want to talk about, you know, what's God's perspective of that, and how does this come to that point? And also, they're talking about now about how to get benefits, the benefits that a man and a woman who are married, how that spouse and that family gets that. They want to be able to immediately start figuring out how to give military benefits, you know, to their partners. Or they actually, when they were talking on the Pentagon, I was watching them on C-SPAN last night, that they're talking about, you know, from the Pentagon, you know, that you know, she's introducing her wife and he's introducing his husband. And you know, the question is, how do we get here? You know, how do we get here? What does this mean? What is God's perspective? And just like we talked about healthcare, you know, people are complaining about, you know, government provided healthcare, but only 4% of the church itself is even honoring God with the tithes and the offerings. So who's going to take care of the sick? Because God's going to separate us based on that. It's the world's not. We can't get the world straight if the church is not straight.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, what does God want from us? You know, and this is not condemning anybody. We're not going to be talking about that, because, you know, you committed one sin, you committed them all. So it's not about differentiating. But how did we get here? and how do we possibly transition out? And despite what happens in the world, how does the church operate? We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about, today we have a Mormon presidential candidate that the church, the Christian church, is standing behind, saying he's our great hope. Mm-hmm. And there was a day that when somebody said that you were a Mormon, mm-hmm. that they would consider that like today. If somebody says, you know, it's not all like this, but if somebody mm-hmm. says you're a Muslim, you're part of Islam, there's a lot of negative connotations that come with that. Mm-hmm. There's some fears that come with that. Some people have some fears thinking like, you know, are you part of the Muslim group that's doing this damage and that type of thing? And that same feeling, this is how they describe it, that same feeling that you may feel today when you hear that, that's exactly how it was, you know, in America when Mormonism mm-hmm. was beginning. They felt the very same way. But today, you know, how does it progress from a 14-year-old boy in Fayette, New York, to all of a sudden the president of the United States? So we're going to talk about Joseph Smith a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how from Joseph Smith to Mitt Romney, how did this actually take place? And is it God? Because we have leaders right now, you know, and one of them is Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen, he stood up and he said that, you know, Mitt Romney is my Christian brother.
Right.
You know, he's my brother in the Lord. The question is, we want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, is he his Christian brother?
Right.
You know, these are serious things, and we got to begin to ponder this. Because he says, in the end days, even the very elect could be deceived. It was possible. Great deception is going to come. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be religious deception. I mean, you know, if you're called to be up and it's down, that's kind of obvious.
Right.
But if you're hanging around people who are almost up, it's easy sometimes to say, well, I know they're not all the way up, but at least they're somewhat up.
Yeah.
You know, that's harder to be able to get past. We're going to talk about those couple things. You know, what's God's news behind the news? God's perspective. We're not looking to point fingers or criticize. All VFN Radio is for. VFN Radio is for the church, which is not a building. It's a people that follow God. Secondly, it's for those that have gone astray, that we want to help you come back to God. And thirdly, you know, it is for those that are being drawn to God. And so, you know, the reason why you may be listening, God's just touching your heart and you're crying out to God. And that's what it's for. We're not VFN Radio is not for the world. We're not, even though it's broadcasted. Mm-hmm. And people have a chance to listen to it. If you're listening to VFN Radio and you feel like, hey, I don't agree with that, you know, Jesus is not my God, my Lord, and you know, this is not for you. The VFN mm-hmm. Radio is for the church, which are people who are believers of Jesus Christ, who accepted him and made him the Lord of their life. And it's also for that one has gone astray. Mm-hmm. You know, we want you to be listening. Because we want to encourage you and soften your heart and remind you that there's a grace for you to return. And it's for the one who's being drawn to God. You might not presently know him, but you can know him. And you can know him through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can find out more about that. You know, we shared a couple of our stories, mm-hmm. you know, at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You just got to meet him. And you can do that through, you know, just finding out people's, find somebody's story that's like your story. You're like, that's my life, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to be as authentic as we can about that, but you can't just ramble on forever. As a matter of fact, we may still have to have a short version, a long version of all that.
Yeah.
But you know, I want to know. I want to know the details in regards to that, so I can kind of compare things and get a grid for it. And so, listen, there's so many things going on right now. You know, we have somebody who is professing to be a Christian, who is acting Muslim, and mm-hmm. then we have somebody who's professing to be a Mormon that says they equate to Christianity, and the church is just kind of like talking about the next reality show.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Come on, guys. You know, we can lose this thing. We can lose this in our, if only 4% of the young people, if only 4% of the young people even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we have foregone our responsibility to our generation. And so we can wake up. God responds to us in that. I don't know how much time we have left on this. Oh, we're coming to an end. Oh my goodness, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Join us next hour today. You're listening to VFN Radio. And those that can't join us for the rest of the program, don't forget you can join us on the highlights on your VFN TV application. Or go to VFNTV.com. Those that can't join us in the extra hour.